Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Good morning. I'm Pastor Roy Carter, pastor of the New Life Christian Fellowship Church located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street in Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our telephone number, 262-417-7363. Our website, nlracine.org. We just say welcome to you this morning. This truly is a day that our Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. We are grateful to see each one of you on this morning. We say we love you with the love of Jesus. God bless you this morning. We just come to this morning to give you a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word that will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. We're required to walk with the Lord daily, not just on a Sunday, not just on a particular day, but every day. And if we can learn ways that we can walk with him better, then we can get a good fulfillment out of what God has for us. We truly can share with him and receive all that he has for us, sharing it with all others as well. We take the time each Sunday morning to say to you, we want to encourage you. Those of you that are watching here, we encourage you to continue to practice the health initiatives that our medical professionals are giving us concerning our COVID-19 pandemic situation. Things are looking better, but let us continue to wash our hands, to sanitize, to make sure we put our mask on, to practice social distancing. It's not over yet, and until things get better, let us all continue. If we all continue to do this, do it for somebody else if you don't see the need to do it for yourself. And together we shall get through this with God's mighty outstretched hand. We want to say thank you once again. We can't say thank you enough to those of you that continue your financial support to New Life. You can give through the Givelify app on our website, nlracine.org. You'll see down at the bottom the donate button. You can give there. We still got people that will send that will mail their checks in. However you choose to give it, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you, that the work of ministry might go on. We thank you for those of you that share with us, that send us a message. We get messages of praise reports and testimonies because our God is still working miracles. He's still wonderful. He's still doing great things in our sight, and it's marvelous. And we want to share it continually. So we say thank you. Now let's go to the Word of God on this morning. We want to call your attention as we continue in our Lenten season, our time leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the time that we spend getting closer to him, reflecting on our own lives, reflecting in terms of assessing ourselves from his point of view, that we might have this better walk with him. Let's look this morning at Mark chapter 8, the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And we want to move right down to verse number 27, beginning at verse number 27. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse number 27. It says, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.' Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.' When he had called the people to himself, he's with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Read in your hearing Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. We just want to be cognizant of our thought this morning. What are you mindful of? What are you mindful of? What are you mindful of? Now, in our scripture that we read here this morning, this comes down at the tail end following some things that had happened. Jesus is with his disciples, his followers, those that are going after him, and they're watching Jesus do what Jesus did. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's ministering, he's healing, he's doing all of these wonderful things, working miracles. And now the people have been following him because of what they see him do. And, you know, they want to share in. They want some for them too. And now it's getting late in the day. And Jesus is saying, these people are going to be hungry. They got a long way to go to get home. Give them something to eat. And the disciples, despite having seen all that Jesus has done, despite having followed him and been around him all of these many days, they're kind of marveling at the idea that Jesus is going to tell them to go feed these people. All these people, we ain't got enough money for that. They that quickly forgot that Jesus, the miracle worker, was right there in their midst with them. And then later, some of the Pharisees, they came up, some of the religious people, they came up to Jesus saying, show us a sign. You know, we want to know about you. And so show us a sign. And Jesus was like, I ain't got time to deal with y'all. I just ain't got time. I ain't got time to prove myself to you beyond what I'm already doing. And if you look and see how I'm living and see what I'm doing and hear what I'm saying and match it with the scripture that you already have, if you can't get an idea based on that, bye. And now Jesus and his disciples go along, and Jesus again works another miracle. This one was an unusual miracle in that in this time, Jesus prays for a man that is blind. And this is the only time in scripture you see where Jesus did it over again. He prayed for the man, and he says, okay, look, what do you see? And the man said, well, I see people, but they look like trees walking. And the scripture makes mention about the fact that Jesus prayed again. And then this time the healing was complete. But now Jesus continues on, and he's just doing what Jesus does. He's teaching and preaching and working miracles, and the time for his death, his crucifixion, is getting closer and closer. And he knows that he's about to leave, and, you know, he's preparing his disciples. And then he asks them a question, and he's saying to his disciples, who do other people say that I am? And so they spoke up real quick, and they said, well, people say, you know, some people say you're John the Baptist. You done came back, and, you know, John the Baptist had been killed earlier, and you're him. And some people said, well, no, he's Elijah. And other people said, well, he's some of the other prophets. They were giving Jesus the report on who everybody else said Jesus is. But then Jesus turns to them and says, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Who do you know me to be? Now, you might want to ask yourself that question as though Jesus is asking you, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say Jesus is? And not who do everybody else say he is. Not who mama said he was, who daddy said. Who do you say Jesus is? And it's after Jesus asks these questions that he goes on and breaks down to his disciples things about, you know, this crucifixion, the fact that the Son of Man, he is going to suffer many things, and he's going to be rejected, he's going to be killed, and he's going to rise again on that third day. And, you know, he's sharing all of this with them. And then here comes Peter, one of his followers, one that had been with him all this time. And Peter wants to pull Jesus to the side. And he's going, now, Lord, you know, we believe that you're the Messiah. And Peter's speaking out of his human way of thinking. And he's saying, you know, but a Messiah, that's going to be this new king. You're going to come and rule in authority and power. So surely, if you're going to do all of these wonderful, great things as our new king, our Lord and our Savior, you won't die. You won't be killed. You won't be rejected of men. And Jesus looks at him and says, I rebuke you, Satan. Just get away from me, devil, because you're speaking things that are not godly. And he goes on in his rebuke to say this, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What are you mindful of? Today, as you live your life, as we're living our lives and we're walking and talking and doing all of the things that we do in our daily lives, what are we mindful of? Who do we say that Jesus is? And a lot of times people have the wrong idea about who he is. And because they have the wrong idea about what he does, their interaction with him is amiss. It's off. And as a result of it being off, then our living is off. Our way of living is off. Our way of understanding is off. And then our actions become off. And Jesus knew this. You know, he's the Son of God. He knows everything. So he speaks up and he gives some instructions for them then and for us today. If anybody, wants to come after me, wants to follow me, there's three things they got to do. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We want to be mindful of the things of God as we follow after the Lord. We want to be mindful of the three things that Jesus said we had to do. The first thing was to deny self. Now, we know that during Lenten season time, a lot of folks go on fast and they deny themselves something, deny some soft drink or some food that they like to eat. And, you know, I'm going to stop eating chocolate. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. I suggest to you that if we're thinking godly, if we're thinking in the ways that God would have us to think, it goes beyond just giving up some chocolate or giving up our favorite soda or those sorts of things. But rather, Jesus is talking about giving up some things, denying ourselves of some things that will change our attitude, that will change the way we view the Lord, that will change the scope of how we think and what we do. And here Jesus is suggesting that we deny ourselves our own fleshly preferences, our own fleshly desires, our own fleshly attitudes, our own fleshly thoughts, our own fleshly opinions. Do that in exchange for accepting God's way of thinking and then God's way of acting. We then will regard God and what God wants in our daily lives when we deny ourselves. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, go down to verse number 19. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? He's talking to believers here. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Do you know God bought you? God paid for you with the blood of his precious son? And as a result, he owns us. If he then owns us and we are truly God's property, then that means he has lordship or control over our lives. And if he has control over our lives, then that means we seek to do what he says we do versus what we ourselves may want to do. You know, it's like when you go to work You know, let's just be honest. Yeah, that you may have a wonderful job and you love doing your job and you love some of the people there, but there's some days you wake up and you be like, I am not for it. I can't tell you how many people say, I'm not a morning person. But because the requirements of that boss is, you better be here and punch in before 7 o'clock, and then you need to be on your post at your desk, whatever, by a certain time, and then you don't leave your work area until lunchtime, and then you come back at a certain time, you find yourselves following the rules despite how you might feel. Despite how you might feel. You know, because some of us in our daily, in our way of thinking, I get there when I get there. They better be glad to see me when I get there and I do how I want to do it. No, because we are governed by somebody else. We follow. We seek to strive after. Get in the way of somebody that's running late for going to work. They will almost run you over. Why? Because they're trying to live up to the rules of the one in charge. If I'm bought with a price by God, and I belong to him, I have to learn to deny myself, deny those things that I would want to do, and begin to seek after what he wants, understanding that the things that God wants for me is the best for me. God only wants what is best for me. Many times what we want for ourselves are things that are detrimental to us, things that will harm us, things that will cause us agony, and we know it. But we still strive to seek after those things. And Jesus is saying, deny ourselves. How is it that I can deny myself? Proverbs gives us a real good example in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Not trust in ourselves, but trust in the Lord with our whole heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and then he can direct our paths. Why? Because I'm denying myself. I can only see what I can see in the moment, whereas the Lord is infinite in his wisdom and his knowledge, and he knows all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 points out that because of the foolishness of God, think about this, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than anybody, any man. People sadly feel the need that they don't want nobody to tell them what to do. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I'm doing me, and if they don't like it, that's too bad. I just suggest to you that you might want to take the words of Jesus. And in order to have the relationship with God and walking with him that he desires to have with us, deny yourself. There has to be some willingness to deny ourselves in exchange for the things of God. And if we intend to closely follow after the Lord, we must deny our fleshly thoughts, our fleshly ways of thinking, just seeking after the things that please our flesh, when we got spirit living within us. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity in opposition to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh, hear me, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, he's not saying that we as people can't please God. It's saying when I give in to my fleshly desires and my will and my ways, because the ways of mankind are often opposite of what God would have us to do. We have to actively seek to deny ourselves and strive to take on the ways of God. We've got to press toward it. Then our decisions and our choices will lead us in the right direction. Our decisions and our choices will be fruitful to our living. They will not lead us on a path that will be our own destruction. Are you willing to deny yourself? for the sake of gaining life with the Lord? Are you willing to pursue the Lord and His righteousness more importantly than you are pursuing the things that just make you feel good? You got to be willing to allow God the seat of control in your life. Give Him the seat of control. And you just sit back and ride as you follow Him going the way. So Jesus said, you got to deny yourself. And then the next thing Jesus said is take up your cross. Now, a lot of people look at taking up their cross as though it means I got to be sick. Excuse me, I got to be all of these different things. But many people, like Peter, they saw that Jesus is coming as Lord and Savior, and He's going to be the Messiah. And so He's just going to take over without any suffering taking place. And as you know, if you read the story of Jesus and His crucifixion, there was a whole lot of agony that went on. As a follower of Jesus, we're reminded that there will be agony in our lives. There will be things that will be unpleasant in our lives for us from a natural way of thinking because we have decided to follow Jesus. There's a song that used to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And there's a verse in there that says, the cross before me, the world behind me. We've got to understand the words of Mark chapter 13 and verse 13 that says, Jesus has said, you're going to be hated by everybody for my name's sake. But if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. People go hate you. People go hate. Let people do what they do. And you do what the Lord calls for us to do. Understanding, I'm taking up my cross daily that I might follow Him. I got to remember the words of Peter when he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which will try you as though some strange things is happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Folk get upset with you because you choose to follow after Jesus. Let them. But if you're truly following after the Lord, you're blessed just because you are choosing to do this. And he ends it up by saying, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Peter just saw part of the picture. He just saw, he liked the part about Jesus being Lord and Savior and Master and Messiah and saving His people. He didn't take a look at what was going to be necessary for that to happen. Although Jesus is saying it. You know, when you hear about Jesus suffering on that cross, he's beaten. You know how to, you know, beat all night long, whipped, crown of thorns placed on his head, and then forced to carry his cross up Golgotha's hill. In order for him to become Lord and Savior, he had to suffer. He had to suffer. And he was willing to do it. That God's purpose in his life might be accomplished. We've got to be willing to be hated. We got to be willing to be despised for believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, understanding that we are blessed by God if we make that choice. Jesus carrying his cross, it also went on to show Jesus' submission to what God had for his life. Him carrying that cross wasn't easy. Remember, they had brought in somebody to help him carry it. We got to be willing to go through the circumstances that we might face in carrying this cross. And we do this daily, even when we're untreated fairly, even when others that we love may cause us hurt and pain. I'm doing this because it's what the Lord requires. And this is what causes me as a believer to do right by everybody. Why am I doing right by everybody? Because although it may cause me to, as we like to say, suffer, I know that if I suffer, I will reign with him. Jesus remained faithful to his mission to God. In order for him to be the coming savior of the world, the savior of mankind, he had to go through and carry that cross. We've got to also carry the cross, being willing to deny ourselves on a daily basis. And it's going to cost you something, but you got to be willing to do it. What are you mindful of? I'm mindful of this in God's point of view, not from man's. And so not only did he have to do this thing in that he is choosing to deny himself, Jesus said, and then take up the cross. And then the last thing he said was, follow me. We got to follow after the Lord. Follow after him. In order to follow after him, to follow after Jesus simply means obey him. Do what he say do. That's very simple. I notice how it's amazing how parents will get very forceful in their thought about their children obeying them. Do what I say do. Why I got to do this? Because I said so. But then that same parent will be very reluctant to follow after Jesus, to obey Jesus, to do what Jesus said. People will look for ways to not be obedient to the Lord. They'll look for ways to excuse what they do and how they do it, all in an effort to make my not being obedient be okay. I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, if I want to follow after him, I gotta obey him. I gotta do what he says do. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Simple as that. If you love him, keep his commandments. He don't want us to just say, I love him, just hear it out of our mouth. He wants to see it in our actions. He wants to see it in our actions. Why would Jesus want us to obey him? He wants us to obey him because he realizes, as it says in John 8 and 12, that the one that follows after Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And the one that follows after me, that obeys me, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Have the light of life. As obedient children, 1 Peter says, chapter 1, verse 14, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. You didn't know no better. When you learn better, you do better. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Jesus wants us to follow him, to be obedient to him, not to make excuses for not being obedient for him, not to sit back and say, I got plenty of time and I'll do that later. You don't know how much longer you have. Later may never come for you. I guarantee you there are many people that have left this life. They had some plans made for the next day. They had plans made for what they were going to do this summer. They had plans made, but they did not live to see those plans come. I suggest to you that now in the day that we hear what the Lord is saying, let's find ourselves becoming obedient to him, keeping his word. Jesus said in John 14, going down a little further, verse 23, Jesus answers and says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. When we strive to obey the Lord, we're striving to be like him. We're constantly reminded of the fact that, you know, when we give our lives to the Lord, old things pass away. Our old way of thinking, and then because of our old way of thinking, then also our old way of doing, our old way of living. And as a result, we now open the door for a new way of life to come in. We can't have a new way of life when we still hold on to the old way of doing things. The closer we get to the Lord and following him, while it may not be easy, Jesus had an answer for that too. He said, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. We got to find ourselves learning of the Lord, then that way that he would have us to live becomes easier. It's something that we have to choose to do. In verse 35 of our scripture text, Jesus went on to say, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Don't be like Peter. Don't have the Lord speak to you and say, you're not thinking of things that you're not mindful of God in the things that you're doing. Instead, you're mindful of your way of thinking is the way men think. Instead, desire to come after the Lord. Get closer to him that you can live the way he would have you to live, that I can receive all that God has for me, and not just to receive it, but then to be able to share it with others. I don't like sitting and looking and see what everybody else getting when they getting all the good stuff. And I'm just sitting there looking and going, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had some too. You have it available to you. You just have to do what Jesus said. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow or obey him. It's doable. Don't convince yourself that it's not. It's doable. He is there with his spirit, that he might help us to do what we cannot do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for all things. We love you and we exalt your name. We thank you for being not just God, but our God, a God who loves us, who cares about us, a God who holds us in the very hollow of your hand. Thank you, Father, for being that to us. Thank you for loving us enough that even while we were still sinners, not even mindful of you, not even caring about you, you made a way of salvation for us that we can be reconciled or brought back together in peace and harmony with you. Father, even now, we confess to you our sins. Anything that we have done that's outside of your will, where we have failed, where we have missed the mark, Lord, forgive us. Those things that we knew better than to do, and we did them anyways. And sometimes we didn't know better until afterwards, but either way, we still messed up. Forgive us. Wash us clean and make us whole. And help us to remember that we belong to you. And because we belong to you as followers and believers of you, we then have to live as we believe you. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross and follow you daily. Lord, help us, strengthen us, empower us where we are weak. We can't do it on our own, but with your strength, we can accomplish everything that needs to be done. We truly can do all things. We can deny ourselves. We can follow after you. We can take up our cross through Christ who strengthens us, who enables us, who empowers us. So help us today. Father, we need your help to look on those that are sick and afflicted and whatever the ailment might be. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. Not just diseases of the body, diseases of the mind, diseases of circumstances and situations. Whatever there is, God, that needs your healing touch. Father, we just want you to touch and heal as only you can. Father, there are those that are in hospital beds, that are some lying on their deathbed. Some person is setting aside the bed of a loved one, and the doctor has said that there's nothing else that can be done. You speak life, and life will continue to be. According to your will and your wisdom, let things be done. Father, we submit our will to you. We submit our desires to you, that we might seek after what you have for us, knowing that all those things that you have for us are truly our best interest. Father, we realize that we matter to you. Help us to understand this and live in knowing that as your creation, as your created being, created in your image, we are your vessels. We are your property. So we yield ourselves to you. Have your way in us. Bless us today, God, and we shall be blessed. We ask these blessings in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, God. Amen. Now today you go and live in victory. If you've not made the choice to give Jesus your life as Lord and Savior, let me just share real quick. It's real simple. It's just a matter of admitting your flaws, admitting your faults, admitting your fallacies, admitting that I just mess up. But saying, God, I realize that you, through Jesus Christ, never mess up. And so I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I accept him. He forgives me for my sins, washes me clean. And now I strive, I put forth an effort to live as he would have me to live. It's an easy thing to do. You just got to do it. And you'll find yourself as you begin to walk with him and talk with him and learn about him, you may slip and fall again, get back up and do it all over again, knowing that he wants for you what is best for you. God bless you. We love you with the love of Jesus. Make sure you send us your prayer requests. You can hit us up on our website, nlracine.org. At the bottom, you'll see a little envelope there. Click on it. You can send us a message. You can leave us a phone message at 262-417-7363. The office is not manned on a regular basis, but somebody gets to it every couple of days, and we will get back to you at our soonest convenience. You can send us email. You can send us a message here on our social media. Just click in the message box and send us a message. And as soon as someone can, we will get with you. We love you. Have a great day today. Walk, live in victory. God bless you.